This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Well, 7 months into a new position, thought we'd check in with Dr. Rachel Pockrat, president of Umpqua Community College, and she is in today. So overall, how do you think things are going so far?
They're going great. You know, I am the luckiest person in the world. I have the best job in the world at the best community college in Oregon. So how bad could it be, Kyle?
So what is it that you particularly like about it?
Oh, well, rural communities are my jam. So being here in Roseburg and in Douglas County is amazing. I actually was just down this morning in Days Creek visiting the school district there. And what a beautiful drive. And then amazing people doing great things for small rural communities. It's not always easy. There aren't as many resources as in big cities. But that makes people really entrepreneurial, and they have a real heart for their work. So really the best thing for me is being that kind of setting.
So it seems like you're trying to get really connected with all these districts and kind of look to the future.
Yes. You know, I'm a fan of what we in education call a P20 approach. So from preschool all the way to 20th grade, which is all the way through a graduate degree. You know, we're all in the same business. We all do education. We're all trying to support students and our communities to have a bright, bright future. So we're in the same game. There is no difference. The K-12 school students are our students and vice versa. So I have already forged some really strong partnerships. We have some incredible K-12 educators out there, and I am honored to be partner with them.
So on the college campus at UCC, how's the year going for the students and staff?
Well, just like everybody else, you know, COVID is a factor. Our staff is incredibly resilient. If you know an educator or somebody on our staff, please give them a hug. They've been through a lot in the last few years, but they show up every day and they are dedicated to supporting our students. You know, we're open, Kyle, which is the most important thing. When I got here in July, the college had been closed for a year and a half, and it is great to be open, which means our students can come and see us whenever they need help and support. And our staff are really enjoying being back together again and working together. So we're forging ahead. You know, we're hoping that as we get into the summer here, that we feel like COVID is in the rearview mirror. And then it's really exciting times for higher ed. Who are we going to be post-pandemic? So it's a little bit scary, but it's also exciting and a great time to reinvent ourselves and everything that we do for the community.
Are there particular highlights from the first 7 months for you?
Oh, gosh. Let me think. Yes, lots of sports highlights, lots of performing arts highlights. Again, it was great to be back in person. We had some great concerts. Anything for me to do with students is going to be the highlight. When I see students doing what they love and enjoying that, that's always going to be a highlight for me. I would say student-wise, if I have time for a story, we have a student named Connor who is an athlete, and I did an obstacle course race back in the fall.
Wait a minute, you're the president of the school. You did the race.
I did the race. It was actually a costume race. I was dressed as Superwoman, and I did the race, and I was really, really struggling on this one part that's like the monkey bars. Like, anybody who can do the monkey bars after they're 8 years old, my hat is off to you. And Connor was ahead of me, and he saw me struggling, and he stopped, and he came back, and he cheered me through getting through that obstacle part of the obstacle race. And so, Connor, you're still my favorite student. You're the best. I think he used some pretty blue words getting me through that. But that's okay, because he got me to the end of it. So.
And I noticed that you seem to be out at a lot of these different events, you know, well into the evening sometimes.
Yes, that's my job. It's an all day, every day job. And I love it that way. Again, anytime I can be with students or our staff and faculty is a happy place for me.
What about hard issues? I mean, with the pandemic and everything going on, nothing's easy right now.
It's not, but I'm a glasses half full kind of person. Higher ed has a responsibility to reinvent itself, and those are going to be fun and interesting conversations. And I like some of the national conversations that are going on around outcomes-based learning. So most people don't go to college just to go to college. They go to college to get a better job, a better life, support their families. We have a huge responsibility to make sure that we provide those opportunities. So what is that going to look like in the future? And how can we get laser focused on making sure our students come out at the end with a family supporting wage that makes them contributors to their community?
What about school funding? How is the college faring this year?
You know, I am, again, always a glasses half full person. So I'm always going to say we're doing great and we have everything that we need. When you think about your budget, you have to decide what it's most important for you to spend your money on. I often put it through the lens of, I'm a taxpayer. If I'm looking at the college, is this college spending my money in the very, very most efficient and effective way for outcomes for students in the community? And I think we do that at UCC, and we'll continue to have a laser focus on that and use the dollars wisely.
So I know that along the way in education, like a lot of other sectors, sometimes from the federal government down to the state and on from there, there have been pandemic funds. Has that been helping or are you still getting some of those?
No, we've received all the funds I think that we're going to get. Yes, it's helped. It's helped largely our students. A lot of those funds were a pass-through for us. So our staff got it out to the students that needed it in order to stay in school. So that was sort of the primary use of those federal funds. They went directly to students. We also were able to shore up the college in terms of not having to lay off employees. So many of those funds were used to ensure that people kept their jobs at UCC, which has been really, really important because as we came back from the pandemic, we needed those amazing staff people. And then sort of the third portion was all about technology. So again, as we decide who we're going to be post-pandemic, we're going to need the very best cutting-edge technology to provide that education to our students. So we spent a lot of money on investing in our technology at the college.
Now, I know for K to 12, all over the district and really everywhere, staffing is an issue. A lot of places, it's hard to find enough people. How's the college doing?
Yeah, we've got some open positions. If you're out there and you want to work in the most amazing place and have fun with all of us and our students, check out the jobs page on the UCC website. We have a few open positions, I think we've done a really, really good job of making sure our students are served. Again, when you're in that position, and I know the school districts have been doing it as well, you just get really laser focused on what matters most. And I think we're doing a really good job of providing those services.
Are you concerned that this shortage of people is going to linger longer?
Gosh, you know, I'm not concerned. I think we will adjust and flex and figure out how to do it in a different way. I guess what does concern me is that we do have great jobs, and I know that there are people struggling out there. So sometimes I wonder if it's mental health issues and it's difficult to kind of get out of your house again. You know, so I worry about people individually more than I worry about us as an institution. We'll figure it out. We're smart enough.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1. Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel at 4. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on mental health. Cheryl McDonald from ADAPT and the Crisis Program Director will be on with us. Dr. Rachel Pockrand of Umpqua Community College here now. With all the opportunity for technology that has kind of come out of the pandemic, what percentage of courses are available right now, whether you where you can be in person or online? Is that getting more frequent?
Yeah, it's a really hard question to answer, Kyle, because it's a yes and answer. So we've always had online classes at UCC. And we've obviously, of course, always had face-to-face classes, but the pandemic has really opened up the opportunities to have a lot more hybrid learning and also to change as the weeks go by, depending on what's been going on with COVID or whether people are sick or not. So I get the question a lot, are you online or are you face-to-face? We are online, we're face-to-face. We're face-to-face and over Zoom. We have these technology-enabled classrooms now where the teacher is in the classroom and the students can come and be in the classroom if they like to, or they can also take the class from home and they can fully interact with what's going on in the classroom from their Zoom window. So education looks really different. If you haven't been in a classroom for 20 years or so, you might not recognize it anymore.
Do you think this is going to shift, that this is going to get more common even coming out of COVID? Just while there's been a lot of struggles, you know, there's some windows there and there's some availabilities when you can pull, you know, an instructor or a guest speaker in that you couldn't fly out from Boston, you know, but yet they can help with your class for a day.
You're absolutely right. And then on the student end, you know, if you're a mom with a couple of kids and you have a job, it's much better for you to join the lecture from your couch in the evening than it is to schlep maybe 30 minutes all the way to the campus. So in all ways, we will keep the best parts of that learning with an understanding that most students, too, do really well when they interact with the campus in some way, shape, or form. And, of course, we have programs that are really important to the community and to the campus, like welding and our apprenticeship programs and stuff that you really can't do from your couch. You have to come to campus, and we have awesome equipment and facilities, so we're definitely going to continue to use those.
Virtual welding.
Yeah. What's funny is you actually can do that. But our students love our faculty. They love coming into campus. And, you know, part of that is getting your hands dirty and your elbows deep in some of those disciplines. And that's a fun part of going to college. So we'll never get rid of that part.
What about new programs you're working on?
Yeah, so we are first and foremost working on a program to support local manufacturing. So it'll be a program that is a certificate to start, probably building into a degree at some point. But it's in that space of mechatronics, automation, programmable logic controllers. If that sounds a little space age to you, basically, if you go to any manufacturing facility, a mill, or Orenco is a really great example here in Roseburg. You'll see that a lot of what is going on is manufacturing by robotics, and it's programmable and automated. And so the job that a student would get coming out of that program really is a step up from an entry-level job where they are part of programming the manufacturing process. And it's a really high-wage, high-skill career for those students. So we're launching that in the fall. We also are launching a sports science degree. I think we'll get a lot of interest from our athletes in that degree. And then we're looking at some increased medical programs. We get an awful lot of folks apply to nursing school, and we turn about 50% of them away because we only have 64 slots a year. So we're looking for some alternate pathways for those folks who really want to go into the medical field but don't get into nursing school. And then something that we think is really exciting is that we're looking into ways to bring bachelor's degrees here to the UCC campus. So they won't be UCC degrees. They'll be degrees from other institutions around the state. But we recognize that many of our students are place-based. They live and work in Douglas County, and we don't want them to go elsewhere to college. We want them to stay here and be part of the community. And They would like a high-touch degree, not just an online degree. So we're working with some of our four-year partners to bring those programs here.
And is that something that's happening other places too? I mean, is that something that other community colleges are looking at?
You know, community colleges in the state just got the right to offer their own bachelor's degree. We're not going to quite go that route yet. So yeah, some are talking about it, and I think there's a lot more going on in that space in the metropolitan areas, but I think it's actually more important in a rural setting like this where folks don't have direct access to a four-year institution.
What about programs maybe you're looking at making some adjustments to?
Well, we're constantly making adjustments. Anybody who's in the world of work knows that they're constantly retraining and upskilling. So we're constantly tweaking classes and, you know, getting rid of classes that we don't really need in that degree anymore and bringing in new ones. Our faculty is incredible about making sure that the skills they're teaching are relevant to our students. But nothing major to really announce in that area.
Now, sports has seen a lot of growth in the last few years out there. Talk about that and maybe what even might be ahead.
Yes. So I don't think I'm allowed to announce what new sports we have quite yet. My athletic director will get very, very angry with me if I do that. But our sports are doing great. We have about 270 athletes, and our programs are very, very successful. Our women's and men's basketball are in the middle of their season right now, and they're both in the top 10 in the NWAC, which is great. If you follow me on Facebook, you'll see that I'm at the game a lot, and that isn't just because it's my job. It's because it's really fun basketball to watch. They play really fast, fun ball, so come down and see that. We have games on Wednesday night this week. Let me see what else. Oh, an exciting thing is that we are hosting the Women's National Wrestling Championships. We're one of the few schools who has a women's wrestling team, and they're really excellent athletes. It's been amazing to learn a lot about that sport. But we're hosting that February 19th and 20th, that weekend. So if you're a little bit curious, you've never seen a women's wrestling match, our women are incredible athletes. Please come down and watch that. And then baseball starts the weekend of the 18th of February. So can you believe that? It's almost spring, baseball time. And then I'm going to give a bit of a plug to our arts program, too, if that's all right.
Sure.
Our sports are awesome, but we also have incredible music program and theater program. We have on the 4th and 5th, the Umpqua Singers, so that's coming up this week, have a concert, and they have a spring concert as well in March, the 11th and 12th. And our theater department is putting on a performance of Endgame by Samuel Beckett. It's a tragicomedy. So come down and see that here in the spring. You can get all of that information on our website. Those are all of our students doing incredible things and really pursuing their passions, which is what we're there for.
And Chris Hollaback was in on Friday talking to me about this play. Oh, cool. And it seems like a kind of a unique one.
Well, if you know Chris, of course it's going to be unique because she is a unique individual. She does incredible work and really opens up some opportunities for our local students here to be introduced to some theater that really is has a world view. Let's put it that way.
So looking down the road, what else do you see maybe being out there for the college or even things like facilities or buildings or things like that?
Well, I'll come back in a couple months and talk to you about buildings. There might be some news on that front. But, you know, we have the space we need. I think one of the things about the pandemic has taught us is that maybe we don't need to continually build. We will be needing to renovate some buildings at the campus. We have original buildings from, you know, the late 60s that haven't been touched. They're almost back in fashion now. That's how old they are. But we are very fortunate. Everybody knows our beautiful campus, and we have incredible facilities. So, but there might be a little bit of news on that. I'll update you in a couple months.
So it seems like everything's popping. A lot going on out there.
We have a lot going on, and the great thing is too that we're starting to see folks come back and use our facilities. So anybody out there who wants to use SOWI, the Southern Oregon Wine Institute, for your event, We are taking reservations, and it is one of the most beautiful places to meet or celebrate that we have in the county here.
Dr. Rachel Pockrant, president of Umpqua Community College, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.